It really doesn't seem possible, but it is Advent once again. The new church year has started. Thanksgiving has come and gone. Black Friday is over. Well, except for the credit card payment. Excuse me. And Christmas preparations are in full swing. And the gospel reading for today is about Palm Sunday. How strange. Yet the theme for today, the theme of all the lessons, is behold, your King is coming to you. Jesus is coming. Not as the baby in the manger like he did 2,000 years ago, or as a humble king riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, but as a triumphant king to bring peace to believers or eternal judgment to unbelievers. Jesus is coming. Those of you who are the more experienced of us here today have been hearing this message for 70 or 80 years or more. In fact, the message has been the same for almost 2,000 years. Jesus is coming. But is he? Like I said, it's been the same for almost 2,000 years. He hasn't come yet. Maybe he forgot? Maybe he lost his way. Maybe he finally decided we just aren't worth it after all. Just look at the world around you. Are we really worth it? Look how people behave. Sin is everywhere. Sin seems to be the norm. Sin is even celebrated. Things that were hidden 50 years ago that were done behind closed doors are now flaunted in public. This past week, Amy and I had a family from seminary stop by on their way from Florida back to Fort Wayne. He told us a story about how he is visiting a patient at the local hospital. He happened to catch a ride on an elevator which was obviously a lesbian couple. Noticing the caller, they asked him if they would marry him. He explained to them that as a vicar, he couldn't marry anyone because he was in training, but also that the LCMS didn't support same-sex marriage. He was then subjected to a prolonged and substantial verbal abuse, and then was spit upon as they exited the elevator at their floor. And not just the frothy mouth saliva, but the deep-down hatred expelled on the front of his clerical shirt. The couple spit on a pastor because he didn't support their sinful way of life. Where was the tolerance the gay rights activists parade for? Where was their respect of an opposing view? I believe the vicar learned more about people in the priesthood than he ever expected that day at the hospital. You have to think that it's a good thing that we don't determine worthiness, right? Jesus did that when he came to the earth as a baby, lived a perfect life, and was killed for the sins of all mankind, yours, mine, the vicar's, and the lesbian couple, all mankind. And he was laid in a tomb, and after 3 days, he rose from the dead, signaling the Father's acceptance of his sacrifice. He later ascended into heaven, where he sits and reigns with the Father until the glorious day when he returns in judgment. And in the excitement of the preparations for Christmas, the words of Paul in the epistle for today and their earnestness sometimes gets lost. No matter how many times we hear it, no matter what's going on around us, and no matter how long it's been, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. We need to be prepared. And that's what Paul points out to us in these few verses from Romans chapter 13. Paul calls us to wake up from our sleep. He's not just talking to unbelievers here, but believers also. We believers are sleepy, groggy, still in our pajamas, like sleeping in on a Saturday morning or a vacation morning, When you get to stay in your PJs all day, sitting on the couch watching movies or binge watching your favorite TV series or even reading your favorite book. You raid the fridge all day, your hair is messy, your teeth are unbrushed. It's a me day all day. And if the doorbell shall ring, you freak out because nobody should or really ever should see you this way. That's us Christians. A lot of us live like that every day. After all, we have time. Christ hasn't come back for 2,000 years. Surely he's not coming back today. Yet, that's not what Paul is telling us here. He's telling us to wake up, get dressed. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. How many of you believe that Judgment Day is right around the corner? That Christ will return any day? Well, you may be right, but the truth is that we just don't know. It could be another 2,000 years or more. But another truth is this. Unless Jesus comes back first, we each face a mini judgment day of our own when our time is up and God calls us home. But until that time comes, we have work to do. Let's not spend the time that we have left in our PJs sleeping in darkness. God, through the pen of Paul, tells us to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Take off those PJs and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So how do we put on the armor of light? How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ by the regular and daily remembrance of your baptism. In your baptism, God declares you forgiven of your sins, adopted as his child, redeemed by Jesus on the cross, justified by his blood, and resurrected with him in spirit. Remembering this inheritance as a child of God will empower you to do battle for the day. Luther had a suggestion in the Small Catechism for how you do start the day. He said, in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And then kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the Lord's Prayer. And if you choose, you may also say this little prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go joyfully to your work, singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments, and whatever your devotion may suggest. That's not a bad way to put on Christ to start your day. And also be in the Word as much as you can. And because Paul mentioned armor, I might suggest a Bible study on Ephesians 6, which describes the whole armor of God. Starting at verse 13, it reads, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening of my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Doing a study on the different parts of the armor of God listed in Ephesians 6, starting with the belt of truth through the sword of the Spirit, will help you have the tools and armors you need to fight the enemy and be a child of the light. And of course, be in worship as much as possible. For it is here that we receive the gifts of the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of sins provided through the means of grace. It is here that we hear the sweet words of absolution and remember our baptism when we see the font where God's words or God's people are born of water and the word. It is here that God's words are preached in sincerity and truth, and God's people respond with hymns of worship and praise. It is here that we taste and see that the Lord is good through the bread and the wine that is his body and blood. It is here that we fellowship with like people in their triumphs and in their struggles, sharing in their joys and in their sorrows, life and death. It is here that God's people of all ages learn of his love and study his word, nursery through the ages, and put on Jesus Christ our Lord, the armor of light. And then, refreshed and encouraged, we go out into the world and live as children of the light. Whatever your vocation may be, teacher, truck driver, lawyer, mailman, construction worker, stay-at-home mom, teacher, reflect Jesus. You may get spit on, or worse, but that's okay. The grave couldn't hold Jesus, and it can't hold you either. As I told the kids in the children's sermon, we are God's flashlights. That's our job. He has chosen you and me to reflect the one true light, Jesus Christ our Lord, into the darkness of the world, no matter the cost. So on this first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday of the new church year, as we look forward to Christmas and all the celebrations that go with it, let's not forget that Jesus really is coming, and it really could be today. Let's not get caught in our PJs, raiding the fridge, hair unbrushed. Let's get caught doing the work of the one who gives us a new outfit to put on, a heavenly banquet, and life everlasting. Amen.